I stared down at the dance floor for a while, not so much ogling as simply taking in the light and motion as a whole, until I saw them part in my peripheral vision. Then I turned and walked over to join them as Justine gestured for us to sit on a pair of couches that had been moved to face each other. Thomas sat down in a corner of the couch, and Justine pressed up close against him, careful to keep what little of her was exposed from touching his skin. I settled down across from them, leaning my elbows forward onto my knees. I smiled at Justine and nodded to her. The floor and half-wall railing of the platform must have been made from sound-absorbing material. The roar of the club was much reduced up here. "Justine, you look like the Michelin man's wet dream." She laughed, pink touching her cheeks. "Well, the club has a look we try to maintain. How are you, Harry?" "Half buzzed on this smoke and floundering," I said. "Thomas told me you had some information." Justine nodded seriously and picked up a manila file folder from the couch beside her. "Word is out about a hunt for a renegade warden," she said. "There weren't a lot of details, but I was able to turn up this." She slid the folder over to me, and I opened it. The first page was a printout of a website of some kind. "What the hell is Craigslist?" "It's a site on the internet," Justine said. "It's sort of like a giant classified ads section, only you can get to it from anywhere in the world. People use it to advertise goods they want to buy or sell." "Goods," Thomas put in, "and services. Help wanted, with veiled language for the less legal things. A lot of shady deals happen there because it's relatively easy to do so anonymously. Escorts, mercenaries, you name it." There was an ad printed on it. "Wanted for permanent position. Donald Morgan, 5 mil finder's fee. Considerations. Lost warden found at yahoo.com. "Hell's bells," I cursed quietly. I passed the page to Thomas. "A wanted poster," he said. I nodded. "And not dead or alive, either. They just want him dead. Every supernatural hitter on the bloody planet was going to be coming after Morgan. Not so much for the money, probably, as for the favors that the ad promised. They carry a hell of a lot more weight than cash in the world of the weird. The 5 million was just there to provide scope, a sense of scale for the favors that would come with it." "Every button man in the world and his brother," I muttered. "This just keeps getting better and better." "Why would your people do that?" Justine asked. "They wouldn't," I said. Thomas frowned. "How do you know?" "Because the council solves things in-house," I said, which was true. They had their own assassin for jobs like this when he was needed. I grimaced. "Besides, even if they did put out a hit, they sure as hell wouldn't use the internet to do it." Thomas nodded, fingers idly stroking Justine's rubberized shoulder. "Then who did?" "Who indeed?" I said. "Is there any way to find out who put this here? Or who this email thingy belongs to?" Justine shook her head. "Not with any confidence." "Then we'll have to make contact ourselves," Thomas said. "Maybe we can draw them out." I scratched my chin, thinking. If they've got a lick of sense, they won't show themselves to anyone who isn't established in the field. But it's worth a try. I sighed. "I've got to move him." "Why?" Thomas asked. I tapped the page with my finger. "When the hard cases start coming out of the woodwork, things are going to get messy, and old people live upstairs from me." Thomas frowned and nodded. "Where?" I began to answer when the tempo of the beat suddenly changed below, and a wave of frenzied cries rolled up, deafening despite any soundproofing. A second after that, an odd frisson crawled across my nerves, and I found my heart pound a little more quickly, and the earlier demands my body had been making returned in a rush. Across from me, Justine shivered, and her eyes slid almost completely closed. She took a deep breath, and her nipples tightened against the rubber cat suit. Her hips shifted in a small, unconscious movement, brushing against Thomas's thigh. My brother's eyes flashed from light gray to cold, hard silver for a second before he narrowed them and rose, carefully disentangling himself from Justine. He turned to face the dance floor, his shoulders tense. I followed his example. "What is it?" "Trouble," he said, and looked over his shoulder at me. "Families come to visit.